Welcome to KUI News, brought to you by Student Media and UI's student newspaper, The Argonaut. KUI News is committed to bringing you the most current news, sports, opinions, and entertainment information within the Mollusca community, the country, and the world. KUI 89.3 FM is a student-owned and operated radio station, and all news and opinions are those of our student journalists and not those of our university. KUI News is underwritten by UI's own student magazine, Blot. Blot is on stands twice a semester on UI's campus and throughout the Mollusca community. For more information about Blot, navigate to blot.uidaho.edu. And now for today's newscast.
Welcome to KUOI News. Happy Friday, everyone. It's September 23rd, and I'm Britt Kaiser. On today's show, we have, for news, information about a Dad's Weekend beer tasting event at the Ale House, a feature on Vandal coaches who are fathers too, and a full calendar of events students can participate in with their dads this weekend. For RAR, weekly horoscopes with Chloe. For sports, a football recap and a preview of this weekend's football game versus Fresno State, a recap of the women's golf tournament, and a feature on Idaho Vandal football player Bobby Cowan. And last but not least for opinion, a roundtable on the campus-wide mediated tag game, Humans versus Zombies. First, here's Molly with a piece on the Dad's Weekend beer tasting event.
Every year, the Coeur d'Alene Brewing Company, Moscow Ale House, hosts a beer tasting for Dad's Weekend. Wendy Smiley Johnson, general manager, said the Ale House is trying to keep it local this year since the brewery lost their lease last year in August. Johnson said she hopes by the end of the year, some of the Coeur d'Alene favorites will be back. "We just started carrying different local and Northwest beers," she said. "We just decided to pull in the locals, make it a local event this year." 6 different beers are served under a tent put up in the parking lot of the Ale House, along with prizes to raffle off. Served at the tent will be Old Man River Oatmeal Stout from Riverport Brewing out of Clarkston. Another is an over-the-hop IPA served out of Paradise Creek in Pullman. The Ale House will also be serving Aspire, dark and dry apple cider, from Fish Brewing in Olympia. "From Palouse Falls in Pullman, as much as we love the Crimson, we have to go Idaho. We're going to serve their Idaho Ague, which is a gold ale. We've got one Odell's Cutthroat Porter, and that's out of Fort Collins, Colorado," Johnson said. "The last ale served is from Grand Teton, called Sweetgrass Pale Ale out of Victor, Idaho." "I have a favorite, and my favorite is the Palouse Falls," Johnson said. "They just have an amazing brewery all the time. The nicest people. Great brewery out of there." As much as they hope to have their ales pouring by this time, Johnson said they're just happy to bring in some really good locals. Katie Dallinger, SARB advisor, said this is the University of Idaho's 4th year partnering with the Coeur d'Alene Brewing Company. "Overall, it's the same every year. This year it's different, of course, because the Ale House is bringing local brews instead of their own," Dallinger said. "At this point, more than 175 tickets have been sold for the event, and they plan to sell more at the door. It's a time for students who are 21 or older to sort of host their dads or visiting family members so they can get a taste of nightlife at the University of Idaho," Dallinger said. "But also, Wendy and her staff offers some education in local breweries and beers available to us here on the Palouse. It's another opportunity for students to spend time with their parents, which is, of course, what Dad's Weekend is all about," Dallinger said. "Wendy has always been so great to work with, and we're glad the university and the community can partner in such a way to offer an event, you know, for traveling dads to campus," she said. The tasting is September 23rd at the Ale House at 6 p.m. For KUOI News, I'm Molly Spencer.
Thanks, Molly. Don Verlin spends his day surrounded by his kids, but after work he gets to be with his children. Verlin, the University of Idaho men's basketball coach, is a father to a 15-year-old son and an 8-year-old daughter, as well as the 14 student-athletes that make up the UI squad. Verlin will start his 4th season with the Vandals this fall and feels that it is his responsibility to be a father figure to all his players, especially the ones whose family lives on the other side of the country. "Anybody growing up needs some stabling people in their life," Verlin said. "We all go through different levels and phases of growing up, and it's important for me to have that relationship with the players and help them with anything they need." Women's basketball coach John Newley feels the same as Verlin and said he believes that being a good father means the same to his players as it does for his 6-year-old daughter. Newley said becoming a father has actually helped him become a different type of coach. He said it's changed the way he approaches the game and the girls. Newley said he treats the team on the court how he would treat his own daughter. Patrick Leiby, secondary and co-special teams coach for the Vandal football team, said for him, life with the players is a little different than that with his two-year-old daughter, Ryan. But overall, their interaction with each other makes it feel like a giant family, he said. It's different. I guess I look at it as one big family. They blend with my family, she blends in the family here. That's what we've built here, is a feeling of family, Leiby said. Verlin echoed Leiby's thoughts and said the interaction with the players is the most important part of gaining their trust and becoming a part of their life. To keep a close connection with the team, Verlin said he invites the whole team into his home for dinner and to play video games with his son. Leiby said during recruiting, he talks with families around the nation, and one of the first messages he gives the players and their parents is that they play a dad away from home role, which comforts the family and instills trust in the program. Anytime you get the opportunity to hang with your kids, your players, you take advantage of that. It's an awesome life being around these kids, and at the same time, you have all the other coaches and their families. It's a great feeling, Leiby said. Like Leiby, both Verlin and Newley bring their families to games and sometimes practices, giving their children a chance to interact with the players and create a larger family vibe. The players love seeing my kids, Verlin said. The thing with college athletes is that they are usually bigger and stronger than most everyone around them, including my children. But at the end of the day, the reason we all get together so well is that my players, my children, and myself are all still kids at heart. For KUOI News and Madison McCord, I'm Britt Kaiser. And now over to Molly again for a complete calendar of events for this year's Dad's Weekend.
Here's your Dad's Weekend calendar. Friday, September 23rd, Vandal Store open 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Get your official game day t-shirt to wear for Blackout the Dome, 710 Deacon Street. Dad's Weekend Information Table, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Pick up schedules, campus maps, general information about campus. Student Union Building Veranda. Iron Dad Challenge, 4 p.m. A series of mental and physical challenges for teams of dads and students. Registration includes signature t-shirt hosted by the Student Alumni Relations Board. Prizes awarded. Vandal Store Plaza. Cost is $8 per team. Sign up at www.uirsvp.com. Beer tasting at the Coeur d'Alene Brewing Company Ale House, 6 p.m. A tour of five Northwest brews with comments by expert staff, special giveaway drawings, music, and fun for those over 21 years old. Tickets need to be purchased prior to event. Hosted by Student Alumni Relations Board. Cost is $15 each. RSVP at www.uirsvp.com. Tradition Keeper Challenge, 6 p.m. Share University of Idaho traditions with your family. Members of the Student Alumni Relations Board will take you to 10 traditional campus locations and will verify that you have completed each one. Bring your traditions book and be on your way to becoming an official tradition keeper. Books can be purchased for $12 at the Vandal Store. Meet outside of the Vandal Store. No cost. Sign up at www.uirsvp.com. Pritchard Art Gallery, 25th Anniversary Block Party and Sculptural Costume Contest, 7 p.m. Join the University of Idaho's Pritchard in celebrating this milestone. Live music by Finn Riggins and Atomic Mama, food and drinks by Casa Lopez and Bloom, amazing costumes inspired by the Mardi Gras floats, celebrity judges, and a good time for everyone. Saturday, September 24th, Vandal Alley, 11:45 a.m. Greet the Vandal football team as they head into the dome on their way to victory. West end of the QB Dome, no cost. Idaho Vandal football versus Fresno State, 2 p.m. Wear your official game day shirt. Fill the dome and get ready to celebrate a Vandal victory. For tickets, call 208-885-6466. Farewell breakfast, 8 a.m. A buffet-style Vandal breakfast including scrambled eggs, honey ham, crispy hash browns, pancakes, stuffed French toast, seasonal fruit, and coffee. Hosted by the Student Alumni Relations Board. Sub ballroom, cost is $12.50. RSVP at www.uirsvp.com. Vandal Store open, special hours, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Purchase your Vandal Dad gear before you hit the road home, 710 Deacon Street. For KUOI News, I'm Molly Spencer.
Thanks again, Molly. And here's Chloe to kick off today's RAR section with your weekly horoscopes.
Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th. In the words of AC/DC, we roll tonight to the guitar bite, And for those about to rock, I salute you. It's officially time for a wake-up call. Grab some friends and find an adventure to not only break out of the ordinary, but completely shatter the ordinary into oblivion. Pisces, February 19th through March 20th. The weekend burned up in a haze of laundering afternoon naps. You neglected to study for your chapter exam. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk? Aries, March 21st through April 19th. Your verbal communication with others isn't as clear as it could be. Tap into the powers of the little blue fish from Finding Nemo and leave others thinking to themselves, wow, I wish I could speak whale. You can do it. Just try. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th. Flowers, candy, or romantic dinner? Those are the old ways to woo that special someone. Take some advice from Ron Burgundy, the anchorman himself. The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show. Flex your muscles here. Or maybe not. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th. It's time for you to take the initiative, put on some stretchy pants, and try that Zumba class because you've always wanted to but never have. If your friends ask you what you're doing, just reply with Napoleon Dynamite in mind. Whatever I feel like I want to do. Gosh! Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd. When it comes to being a good friend, or finding a clever way to get what you want, consider dangling the prospects of a hot breakfast in front of some noses. In the morning, I'm making waffles. Usually comes in handy. Just don't forget the syrup. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd. Three simple words, do your laundry. Even though there's no place like home, and mom isn't around to do laundry for you, it doesn't give you an excuse to wear the same shirt three, or was it four, days in a row. Bring some quarters and hit the laundromat. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd. Your shy and quiet demeanor isn't always a bad thing. Carve out some alone time to recharge your mental batteries, and always remember one important tip from Ferris Bueller. Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd. Your birthday is coming up. And as Austin Powers would say, yeah, baby, yeah. Reward yourself for making it through another year. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st. In a scientific study of exercise in college students, it's been proven that doing some cardio improves brain function. But when it comes to early morning workouts, may the force be with you. Getting out of a warm bed is hard, but it will pay off in brain power. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st. Late to class again? Looks like it's time to make a schedule and really stick to it. Your professors aren't going to go for the usual Ace Ventura excuse. If I'm not in class in 5 minutes, wait longer. No, that's not going to work. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th. There's never been better advice when it comes to life and to dodgeball. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. Hopefully, there aren't any wrenches flying your way anytime soon, but be on the lookout, just in case. For KUOI News, I'm Chloe Rambo. Bodies, can't you see? Forgive the kids. They don't know how to live. Run the alleys casually.
That was St. Vincent with Cruel. Now over to Kevin with a recap of this week's women's golf tournament.
Senior Kayla Mortellaro kept things rolling this week, finishing tied for second at the WSU Cougar Classic in Pullman and helped propel her team to take third place overall. The Vandals were coming off a solid performance last week in which they took 10th at the third annual Parentum Ram Fall Classic in Colorado, and they picked up where they left off. Idaho started the tournament with a team score of 321, but got things together and came back with a 294 in round two, which was the second lowest score in the tournament. Idaho finished it off with a solid third round of 295 to bring their total to 910, which is a two-stroke improvement from last week. Idaho coach Lisa Johnson said she was thrilled with the way her team finished the tournament. "We played really well," Johnson said. "I felt our second round yesterday and today's round are great indicators of how well this team is capable of playing. We putted a lot better, we gave ourselves more birdie opportunities, and we converted them." The Vandals finished just 8 strokes back of Stanford, who took second place with a 902. The University of Washington won the tournament with an impressive score of 890. This week just adds another tournament to Mortellaro's impressive list of high finishes. Mortellaro had finished second and third in the team's 2 tournaments so far this season. Mortellaro started off the tournament a little shaky, shooting 8 over in the first round, but came back in the second round with a 72. Mortellaro finished the tournament in style by shooting the second lowest score in the tournament with a 69. She finished just 1 stroke behind Stanford's Sally Watson, who won the tournament with a score of 220 in a 54-hole tournament. Mortellaro was not the only Vandal to finish in a high position, as sophomore Rachel Choi finished in the top 10 for the first time in her career as she finished in 8th. Senior Tio Polatsky rounded out the Vandal scores, finishing in 20th. Johnson said she likes that everyone on the team is boosting the team standings. "We had contributions from everyone on the team," Johnson said. "That is very encouraging. We have a lot of depth this year." The Vandals will be back in action October 3rd through 5th when they travel to Sanamosh, Washington to play in the Eden Iron Hill Invitational. For KUOI News, I'm Kevin Bingaman.
Thanks, Kevin. And here's Madison and Anthony with a football recap and preview of this weekend's game.
It's Dad's Weekend here at UI, and the Fresno State Bulldogs are traveling to Moscow to take on the Vandals in the WAC Conference opener for both teams this Saturday at 2 p.m. Vandal fans are encouraged to wear black to participate in Blackout the Dome. This will likely also be Fresno State's last trip to the Kibbe Dome for some time, as the Bulldogs are headed to the Mountain West Conference next season. Look for some payback from the Vandals as they try to avenge their 23-20 loss against the Dogs last fall. Fresno State senior defensive tackle Logan Harrell was named the National Defensive Lineman of the Week by the College Football Performance Awards on Sunday for the second time in his career. He was also named the WAC Defensive Player of the Week on Monday. The awards come after he had a career-high 11 tackles, 1.5 sacks, and he tied his personal best with 4.5 tackles for a loss in Fresno State's win over North Dakota. Harrell is also leading the team in tackles with 22 through 3 games, and he leads the WAC and ranks 5th nationally with 6.5 tackles for a loss. For Harrell's career, the 6'2", 275-pounder out of Santa Margarita, California, has 15 sacks and 24 tackles for a loss. The Vandal offensive line will have to watch Harrell and junior outside linebacker Travis Brown, who's recorded 19 total tackles in the Dogs' first 3 games. The Bulldogs' offense has an all-star junior running back in Robbie Rouse, who's been the league's second-leading rusher with an average of over 100 yards a game. Bulldog quarterback Derek Carr finished against North Dakota last week, averaging 21.4 yards on his 11 completions for 235 yards. Jalen Saunders, who proved to be Carr's favorite target last week, pulled in 2 receptions for 2 touchdowns. Through his first 3 starts, Carr is 52 for 91 with a total of 639 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, and 1 interception. And here's Madison McCord with his view of the Vandals' offense and defense.
Just like the Bulldogs, UI is off to a 1-2 start this year, and its 1 victory also comes over North Dakota. Last weekend, the Vandals lost at number 9 Texas A&M 37-7 in a game where the Aggies outgained them 517-187. Idaho only had 56 rushing yards in the game, and its lone touchdown came with 2:18 left in the fourth quarter. It was difficult for the Vandals to put a stop to Texas A&M's running game last week, allowing Aggie running back Cyrus Gray to gain 116 yards, 2 of those touches resulting in touchdowns. The Vandals also had issues with their secondary last week, playing too much zone defense, allowing for quarterback Ryan Tannehill to hit 4 different receivers for over 50 yards each. Look for cornerbacks Aaron Grimes and Michael Harvey to button down the secondary this week. In addition, the Vandal defense only have 2 sacks recorded on the season, so look for more penetration from defensive end Michael Cosgrove and captain Trayshawn Robinson, especially if Carr takes his time in the pocket. The Vandals averaged 297 yards and 22 points per game this season, while giving up nearly 28 points and 397 yards per game on defense. Idaho, though, is +1 in the turnover department, and converts just 26% of its third down attempts on offense. Vandal senior quarterback Brian Reeder has thrown 6 touchdowns this season and just 1 interception. He has completed 56.8% of his passes, and 34 of his 63 completions have gone to wideouts Mike Scott and Armani Johnson. Scott leads the team with 22 catches and 285 yards on the year, while Johnson has 12 catches for 149 yards and leads the team with 2 touchdowns. With that said, look for Reeder to spread the ball around a bit more to running backs Princeton McCarty and Ryan Bass this week, while also looking for Justin Veltung, who is just 2 games off the injured list, and tight end Taylor Elmo. Fresno State leads its series with Idaho 9-4 all times and has won the last 8 games between the two schools. The two teams first met in 1946 when the Bulldogs won 13-12 at home. UI went on to win the next 4 games that were played from 1956 to 67, but then the Dogs have won every game since then. The closest Idaho has come to beating the Bulldogs in the last 8 games was in last season's matchup in Fresno. Fresno led 13-0 in the third quarter after a Travis Brown interception return for a touchdown, but the Vandals fought back, scoring 17 points in the fourth quarter and took the lead with 2 minutes left. A.J. Ellis won the game for Fresno State with his 1-yard dive into the end zone with 14 seconds remaining to give the Bulldogs a 23-20 victory. Don't forget, it's Dad's Weekend, and all fans are encouraged to wear black to black out the dome in this matchup, the first conference game of the season for both teams. Myself and Anthony will be broadcasting the game this Saturday live on 89.3 FM if you're in the Moscow Pullman area, and if you're not, you can listen online on www.kuoi.org. Pregame will be starting at 1:30 with kickoff right around 2. For KUOI News and Anthony Saya, I'm Madison McCord.
Thanks, guys. I can't wait for tomorrow's game. Now over to Theo with a feature piece on Idaho Vandal Bobby Cowan.
Bobby Cowan's 10 punting appearances during Saturday's loss to Texas A&M were the result of a lack of offensive production in College Station. The junior puncher's claim to fame followed the offensive struggle, and after his final boot of the evening, a 52-yarder, Cowan had racked up more total punting yards than any other punter in the FBS. Cowan said it's a cool thing to individually have the most yards, but that means the team is punting a lot. In recent years, Cowan has established himself as a WAC's best punter, and this far into the season has proven himself as one of the nation's premier punters. Gross punting yards may not always reflect the quality of the punter, especially considering the number of snaps a punter has taken. Cowan's 1,147 gross punting yards lead the nation, and his 25 punts are second behind Matt Reinhardt of Kent State. Statistics in this case prove to be exceptionally misleading. To comprehend the skill of a punter, taking into account a player's long punt and gross punting average tell a better story. A 3-year starter for Idaho, Cowan currently holds the nation's 4th longest punt at 71 yards, and is number 15 for gross punting average at 45.9 yards per punt. Special teams coach Pat Leiby hopes the team will begin to thrive offensively, which would in turn reduce Cowan's playing time. Leiby said the team's goal is to cut down on total punts and increase Cowan's net punt. He said Cowan is the guy that the team can consistently trust. Cowan said he tries to go out on the field and let muscle memory take over while getting the ball off in a timely fashion and giving his cover team the best chance to cover the field and make the play. While Leiby may not demand perfection from Cowan, a 2010 All-WAC first-team selection, he exhibits the utmost confidence in his veteran punter. It's a part of mental toughness, and he's a guy that's mentally tough. He can go out there every time and execute to the best of his ability, and that's what we expect of him, Leiby said. And he's not perfect every time, but he gives it everything he has and prepares himself that when he is out there, he is perfect. According to Leiby, the special teams unit will implement a specific theme for this weekend's WAC opener against Fresno State, change the game. For KUOI News, I'm Theo Lawson.
I've had good times with some bad guys. I've told whole lies with a half smile. Held your bare bones with my clothes on. I've thrown rocks, then hit both my arms. I don't know what good it serves. Pour in my purse in the dirt. But I
that was Cheerleader by St. Vincent. And here's Elisa hosting today's roundtable on the campus-wide Humans versus Zombies game.
Thanks, Britt. Today's roundtable topic is the campus-wide game of moderated tag, Humans versus Zombies. Joining us are Madison McCord and Joseph Engel. Campus has been crazy with this game of tag. Joseph, do you think you can explain the game a little bit and bring us up to date?
Yeah, the idea behind this game is that it's a 10-day long game on campus. And it starts out with everyone is on the human side. And then the moderators have picked one person to be infected with a zombie virus. So that person has got 2 days to act like a human and go around and try to tag as many people as possible. And so, just to explain how tags work a little bit, when a zombie tags somebody, every human carries around a unique ID card as part of the game. And so, when they get tagged, they have to give that ID card to the person who tagged them, and then that gets registered online. And then, after a human has been tagged, they will incubate for an hour, so they'll be out of the game for 1 hour. And at the end of that time, they come back as a zombie. So back to my original point is the original zombie, the person who is going around looking like a human, has got 2 days to make all of these tags. And so every single person she tags becomes a zombie. And it works the same way for every zombie that she made. So the goal for the human side is to avoid getting tagged, clearly, like any game of tag. And if the humans manage to survive for all 10 days and complete all of these missions within that 10-day period, then they will have won the game.
Madison, do you have anything to add to that about anything with the game of tag and how it's structured at all?
Well, yeah, I think, Joseph, we can talk a little bit about some breaking news, if you will. The first three missions had occurred, and the humans were successful with those three missions. And we had the fourth mission on Thursday evening, and that one, well, I guess the, do you want to explain a little bit? There are still some humans who have been left uninfected, but the humans did fail that mission. Do you want to talk a little bit about more? I think you know better how the rest of the game will play out because of that.
Yeah, thanks, Madison. I think that the story of the missions during the week this week, we had one on Saturday, which was attended by, as near as I can tell, almost all of the players in the game, and there's almost 400 of them. But the story during the week has been poor attendance. And for the human side, that was really what got them. At the meeting points, all told before the mission started, there were three moderators who weren't actually playing the game, and then about five or six humans showed up. And so by the time that the humans got to the administration building grounds last night, there were three human players and then three moderators who had taken on the role of humans for this mission. Whereas the zombie side was pushing 40 or so members. And as you might expect, it did not go well for the humans. They were outnumbered and they did not make it to the old administration building steps where they were headed.
So just walking to class and walking around the commons, you see people carrying Nerf guns and throwing marshmallows and people running down the streets from each other. What kind of an impact do you think this game is having on campus?
Well, I think it's had a huge impact. We wrote about in the Argonaut editorial this week, I believe it was on Tuesday, that this game is having a widespread, you know, everyone's seeing it. It's interesting to people. We've never had anything like it on this campus, where you're seeing people so deeply involved in a silly game of tag. Really, when you think about the concept, and I love talking to myself and talking and explaining it. I explained it to my dad, and I was talking with him on the phone, and I said, hold on, a human's getting attacked. And he's like, excuse me? And then I think to myself, I'm explaining, yeah, people pretend to be humans and then they pretend to be zombies and kill each other with Nerf guns and marshmallows. And it's the marshmallows that get me. And you think about the silliness of this game, but people are just obsessed with it. You know, I think the biggest thing that we pointed out is there are these people. It started off with about 400. They were mostly human. They were working together in these missions. 90% of them never met each other before. And they've made friends throughout this game. They've worked with each other, tried to avoid people, strategized. It's something that we've never seen at this university, and really it's been a complete positive impact.
If I can add something to that, Madison, I'm seeing just everywhere I go, I see this game. You know, 400 people on an entire campus might not seem like much, but you really can't go anywhere without hearing somebody talking about it, seeing somebody playing. And I think that most of what I have heard is people wondering, you know, how they can get involved.
And that rounds up our opinion roundtable. For more coverage on humans versus zombies, visit uiargonaut.com for a full video series on the piece. And for KUI News, I'm Elisa Egerin.
Thanks, everybody. Sounds like the game's getting pretty intense. I can't wait to see who actually prevails after Saturday. And that wraps up our KUOI newscast. Today's show featured music by St. Vincent with tracks off of her new album, Strange Mercy. For more information, check out www.ilovestvincent.com. And now here's her song, Surgeon.
I spent the summer on my back, a mother attack, staying just to get along, get along, get along.
For KUOI News, I'm Britt Kaiser.
Thanks for listening to KUOI News. KUOI News is brought to you by Student Media in conjunction with UI's Argonaut. For more information about news on this program, navigate to KUOI.org or UIArgonaut.com. If you'd like to submit a story to KUOI News, feel free to email us at KUOI@UIdaho.edu or arg-radio@UIdaho.edu. KUOI News is underwritten by UI's own student magazine, Blot. Blot is on stands twice a semester on UI's campus and throughout the Moscow community. For more information about Blot, navigate blot.uidaho.edu. And remember, KUOI News is committed to bringing you the most current news, sports, opinions, and entertainment information within the Moscow community, the country, and the world.